Words from the letter to the Hebrews, which speak about faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why does faith matter? Because the world is a very different place to those who see it with the eyes of faith than to those who do not. I was remembering a routine that the comedian Louis C.K. did on Saturday Night Live earlier this year, and then miraculously it was actually the rerun last night, which is good because then I can quote it more accurately. But he was talking about believing in God, and he said, "I think it's weird that people say there's no God. Like, how can they be so sure? How do you know?" he asks, and then he imagines that they answered, "Well, I didn't see him." And Louis says, "Well, did you look in the downstairs bathroom?" I mean, and then he goes on with his riff on all the places. Well, did they look here? Did they look there? How can you say for sure there's no God? How can you say that for sure? He doesn't get it. Now, of course, what he's describing isn't faith. It's a long way from, how can you be so sure there's no God, to what the letter to the Hebrews calls faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things you don't see. It's a long way there, but it's a start. It's really easy these days to say, well, I'm not going to believe in anything I don't see. Science explains it all. But there was a comedian on Saturday Night Live making a perfectly rational, logical case for, at the very least, not being so sure there's nothing, for allowing the possibility, the very real possibility, the very rational, logical, reasonable possibility, that the reason we're here, the reason anything exists at all, is that there's a loving God behind it. Now, faith is not the set of beliefs, at least not the way we're talking about it today. Sometimes we talk about the Christian faith, and then maybe we're talking about a list of doctrines, we're talking about a list of principles or the Apostles' Creed, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about faith as the conviction of things not seen. We're talking about faith as trust that there is more to life than just what we can see. Hebrews goes on to say that by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are invisible. So the universe, then, is no accident, according to the Scripture, a very rational, logical approach, by the way. The world is not an accident. It was created, and there is a Creator. And if the world is no accident, if with the eyes of faith you see that we don't have to be here and yet we are, then you know that your life is not just some random collection of amino acids that happen to coalesce in a particular way and so poof, here you are. No, that you know that you're here for a purpose, for a reason. For just as the worlds were made by the Word of God, so were you called into being by the one who made the worlds. So faith, then, is not proof. You notice the Scripture doesn't say that. It's not proof. It's not evidence. It's a conviction. Faith is trust. Trust that there is a Creator behind the physics, behind the chemistry, behind evolution. Faith is trust that there is a personal presence at work there in the midst of it all, a personal power, if you will. Often quietly, subtly, behind the scenes, sometimes undetectably, but nonetheless real. Nonetheless ultimate. And we name that presence, that personal power, God. So faith then is a way of seeing the world that is not fully explained by all that we see. Abraham Heschel, the rabbi and scholar, said years ago that the spiritual life is not a matter of accepting new information. The spiritual life is not about information, he said. The spiritual life is about learning to see the world in a new way. And you can think about faith that way. Faith is the lens by which you see the world, by which you see your life, by which you see everything. Now, there are a lot of choices about the lens that you use to see everything, about what kind of lens you will use to interpret everything going on around you. And some of those lenses are better than others. Sometimes the lens we choose can really distort our vision. When we see everything through the prism of our political convictions, it's way too easy to diminish the image of God in those with whom we disagree. When we see everything through the lens of our economics, then we tend to put dollar signs on everything. And what kind of life do we have if we measure everything by the dollar? And there's a lot of bad religion out there. A lot of bad religion. And if we use a bad religion as the lens by which to see our lives, then we will find ourselves excluding those who see God differently than we do, and damaging often damaging those whom God calls us to love and to embrace. So we have to choose our lens very carefully, very carefully. Which is why faith and reaching up and reaching in and reaching out, all those things that help us to have a good faith, a good lens to use, is so important. So we discover that faith matters when we trust that there is a loving God behind all that we see. And when we do that, when we see through our faith that everything begins with a God who loves all the worlds before they're made, who loves all of us and calls us into being, then we see our life as a gift, our life as a quest, our life as a mystery. Faith matters because life is a precious gift. Our days are numbered. We all know that. Our days are numbered. And we only have so many of them that we can fill with the life that God has given us. So how will we fill them? And what a difference it is when you realize life is a gift, you live your life out of gratitude. Gratitude just that you're here at all. Just that you can hold a newborn baby or have a glass of ice-cold water on a hot day or sit quietly with friends at night watching the stars come out. Faith matters because life is a quest. There's something worth doing with this one precious life that you have. There's a self to discover. There are people out there who need you. Some of them, you know their names. Some of them, maybe not. Without faith, we might not understand that God has summoned us, that God has called us to make a difference with our lives. They may be great things, they may be quiet behind the scene things, but God has something important for us to do with this one life we've been given. And faith matters because then we see life as a mystery. Explain it as we can with our physics and our evolution, and yet still one cannot explain it all. With the eyes of faith, I recognize that I'm part of something far bigger, far grander than myself, something I can only begin to describe. And yet I am part, and you are part, of this great dance of life that began eons ago and it will come to its conclusion in what the Bible calls a great feast at the end of time. And you are part of it. And you know that with the eyes of faith. So the spiritual life, not acquiring more information, but seeing the world in a new way. But there's something else in the scripture here. I sort of have just popped over it always when I've read this, when I've read these words before. But the letter to the Hebrews says, by faith our ancestors received approval. And then it goes on. It's an odd verse. By faith our ancestors received their approval. You know, we're not saved by our theology. We don't have to get all the details of our beliefs right. God's not going to give us some great test. I mean, if there is a great test, it's love one another. Love one another. Will we live the way God calls us to live? But God's not going to judge us on the content of our faith, by whether we've got it all figured out, by whether we can put it into shiny words. But nonetheless, the content of our faith does matter. When the sky falls, when terrible things happen, when tragedy strikes, when illness comes, it sure helps to know that that's not God pushing a button up there, giving you what you deserve. So getting your theology right, it's important, but it's not everything. In addition to this idea that faith is trust, that there's more to life than what we can see, a faith that matters will understand one vital, essential truth. One vital, essential truth. A truth that has to do with this odd verse that by faith our ancestors received their approval. It's a truth I'm going to describe today with a story. It's a true story told by my seminary friend and classmate, Bob Dykstra, who now teaches at the seminary we attended, Princeton Seminary in New Jersey. And I'm going to let him tell the story to you. He says this. He says, I was living with this, He says, Bob says, she was being so unrealistic, and it was beginning to bother me. The vase sat on the kitchen counter week after week, and she seemed incapable of doing anything about it. I was living with this wonderful elderly woman of considerable means who rented rooms in her Princeton home to impoverished graduate students like myself. In her dining room stood a crystal vase of Steuben glass. It was the most beautiful vase I had ever seen. She would fill it with fresh tulips. They would soon fall lazily down around the rim in the way of tulips into a graceful kind of a swirl. She loved that vase, and so did I. Steuben Glass and I were not entirely strangers. I would walk down Fifth Avenue in New York City with the great stores, Saks and Fifth Avenue, Tiffany's and the rest, and the Steuben Glass store was there too, and I would gasp at the price tags. $1,000 for this vase. $5,000 for that one. $10,000 for little crystal polar bears. It wasn't my fault. There was another graduate student living in that home, and one day the other student was washing the remains of some tulips from the Steuben, and she dinged it on the sink. A one-inch triangle of glass broke from the rim, and the rest of it cracked down the center point of that triangle all the way to the base. Our landlady returned home, found her beloved vase where we'd left it, found herself, understandably enough, a little broken as well. She wasn't angry so much as she was bereaved. And for days, which turned to weeks, she left it lying there in state on the kitchen counter, unable to bring herself to the inevitable. Maybe they can fix it somehow, she would say from time to time, looking for any glimmer of encouragement from me. You can't repair a broken crystal, I'd say. Realistic to the core. And she knew it, too. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, sand to Steuben to sand. I think I'm going to call up Steuben to see if they might not be able to fix it, she said to me one more time. And call up Steuben she finally did. We're very sorry for your loss, Steuben said, but the vase you're describing is no longer in production. But what Steuben said next took our breath away. What they said was this: if you bring the broken vase to our store, our artists can fashion a replacement at our expense. We will copy and replace it at no charge. Steuben would bear the high cost of repairing what we ourselves had broken. Our realities are so small. What we see is so small. Our realities are, you can't fix broken crystal. Our realities are, the only truths are those you can see with your eyes, those you can verify, those you can prove. But you see, this was no ordinary vase. This vase was a Steuben. And Bob and I, as I listened to him tell this story, had failed to consider the source, the maker of this vase. You and I, people of faith, people of little faith, people sometimes of no faith, we are precious. We are precious beyond all telling to the one who makes us. We're precious beyond what we can see. Precious to the God who created the worlds by the word of God, created by the one who calls each one of us into being. You may be shattered or broken or wounded or maybe just lifeless or lost or on a losing streak. But you are more. You're not just any vase. You're not just anything. You're a Steuben, handcrafted by sand, by God. So why does faith matter? It matters because then you will see beyond just what can be seen. Because you will see the world differently with the lens of faith. You'll see your life as a gift and as a quest and as a mystery. But even beyond that, you will know that one essential, vital truth, that you are a Steuben. You are a Steuben, a masterpiece. That you are loved beyond all telling, beyond all imagining. That no matter what may happen in this chaotic, dangerous world we live in, you will always be held fast by the love of God that in the end will bring us all home again. And when you know that, your faith matters. It really does. Pray with me. O Lord, give us the eyes of faith. Yes, to see the world around us as more than we could possibly imagine. Yes, to see our own lives as a gift and as a quest and as a mystery. But give us the eyes of faith so that we may know that we are truly loved, endlessly loved. We pray in the name of the one who came to give his life for ours so we would know of that love, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.